Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 23rd of June, recording at 6:18 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, that's earlier than I usually record, being before the U.S. stock market close, but I have a function. And there are plenty of interesting things to talk about, though, but first a quick look at the highlights here today. Asian stock markets finally succumbed to a little bit of the selling pressure. One of the bigger declines was the Hang Seng Index, which has been announced as a standout recently, but it came off 2.89% today. Japan saw a similar decline. China, though, barely faltered. It just down very slightly on the day. And we had a bigger decline on Australia, I think no doubt related to the weakness that we'd seen in some of the commodity markets yesterday. Now, against that background, the European stock markets, well, they had steadied as the morning was progressing, morning and early afternoon, but mostly gave up those gains, largely because Wall Street was a little lower. Not a whole lot, but maybe down half a percentage point or so at one stage. Currently, Wall Street shows a very modest gain following yesterday's big sell-off. In long-dated government bonds, they are quieter here today, as you might suspect, against that background, but that's quietly steady overall. The U.S. Treasuries are up a little bit. And the big news item here today is the U.S. dollar, because that has been firm recently, and it has been clipped here today. The U.S. dollar index, as I speak, is down at 79.72. The euro is up 2.21. That's up to 1.406. Beg your pardon, 1.4085 as I speak, and sterling's picked up to 164.52. The Antipodean currencies are stronger, so some definite dollar selling in here today. Now, against that background, precious metals have picked up a bit. They sold off when Wall Street reversed some opening gains, but have picked up again as Wall Street has moved slightly to the plus column, and I think possibly more importantly in response to the weakness of the U.S. dollar. So, for instance, I'll give you an example. We see September silver, which is currently at 1390. It's been as low as 1363.5, and it's just a cent off the high on the day. That's up 16 cents. And gold bullion is back up to 925.66 as I speak, having been down to 913.24 earlier in the day. The industrial metals are firmer across the boards, and most of the agricultural commodities are firmer today. A reasonable gain put in by soybeans, and these have been quite weak recently as well. Okay, so what's going on here? Well, psychologically, stock markets have been getting a bit of vertigo. Maybe I should say that investors have been experiencing a little bit of vertigo due to the strong stock market rallies that we have seen. I think they've been a little bit spooked by some of the additional news which has come out. There have been no shock news items, but I think people are a bit wary of the green shoots. In other words, we'd all love to believe in them, wouldn't we? But skeptical. Most of us feel relatively skeptical. My own view, as you know, is that the global economy has not bottomed. It's just become less worse. And that's no small achievement psychologically for stock markets to adjust to. The whole stock market rally has been about that adjustment to the fact that we were not sliding into a depression as people had forecast. We were not sliding into a 30 style or even Japanese style deflation environment, largely because central banks have taken the approach that the best way to avoid deflation is to not to fall into it. So we've had that massive liquidity infusion pushing markets higher. And I've been over this so often, although we always have new subscribers coming in, but chances are most of those have also listened to earlier audios. But I go back to my vertigo point that the rallies, which ran for 14 consecutive weeks in some instances, have spilled over for the most part. And we're in a reaction and consolidation phase. It may turn into something a bit bigger than that in terms of a multi-month correction. And we will also see, I think, a fair amount of base formation extension by the lagging, mostly OECD stock markets. But that's hardly the end of the world, although it may be a little bit quieter environment and possibly a little bit more tricky environment for investors in the short term. It may be a little bit more of a rangy environment overall. And I personally will resist the temptation to open any new stock market longs. I've been doing this since the market bottom, really in my trading account, as I said I would. Preferring to hang on to the cash I have and just to treat that as a separate asset category, run in strong currencies. It's currently in New Zealand dollars, which don't yield a whole lot given the 8% plus yields that I was receiving last year, but they currently, I just noticed on a statement that came through today, on a monthly rollover, it's currently paying 2.35%. Now, looking about my strategy is to hold some stock market short positions, and I've been able to protect most of those with at least break even stops, and that's the way I'll continue to play it. Looking elsewhere. These long-dated government bonds, they remain quietly steady. I think that's their performance is really based on a reconversion or a conversion reminder to the deflation theme. In other words, investors need to be a little bit frightened of stock markets for a while. That may well be the case. And they also need to feel that inflationary pressures are in the background and that deflationary pressures may well be ascendant. Well, that would be a recipe for a bit more of a technical rally in the long-dated government bonds. And as I've said before, one could participate in those moves. I'm not tempted because these are counter trend moves. My stock market shorts, incidentally, are counter trend moves right now, but I have a lot of long, so those are a hedge in terms of my long-term investment portfolio. So those are hedge positions, hedge shorts that I'm running. And also, we have far greater supply problems in the bond market, government bond market, than we do in the stock market right now. And I do think that we are going to see some inflationary pressures build, although not all that much immediately. But when we talk about inflation and deflation, and it's interesting, most people sort of declare that they are either in the deflation camp or the inflation camp, and some of the inflation people are in the hyperinflation camp. Well, don't back hyperinflation unless you're talking about a tragedy that similar to Zimbabwe, and I don't think the US is anywhere near that. although people have been talking about U.S. hyperinflation for years now. But it is quite possible, and indeed it's logical, that we will see most of the time pockets of deflation and inflation coexisting. Now, as I've said before, we're not going to see inflation in manufactured goods. We're unlikely to see much inflation occur in wages. We're unlikely to see much inflation occur in house prices, particularly in OECD countries. However, you will have noticed that you're almost certainly, wherever you live, experiencing some inflation in tax rates, and you are almost certainly experiencing some inflation in food prices. You're probably experiencing some inflation in government services, and you've seen some inflation in petrol prices recently. So again, it's normal for both inflation and deflation to coexist simultaneously. But what we also know in terms of that background, that the big economic background, that is, that deflationary risks in terms of the 1930s or even Japan style, as so many have forecast, that really is not on the cards. The reflationary moves have been much, much more aggressive and have erred on the side of inflation rather than deflation going ahead. And what do I mean by that? Well, the GDP growth is likely to be quite slow in the OECD countries for quite some time. I don't think that central banks will be removing the punch bowl anytime soon. That may be a problem for long-dated government bond markets. And I suspect that on the premise of the best way to avoid deflation is don't let it happen, I suspect we may actually see central banks talk prudently but err on the side of inflation. And I think that the pockets of future inflation that we will see are the ones that some of the ones that we've already seen. We'll see it in commodity prices, not immediately because we're getting a correction in commodity prices right now, but it'll be a shallow correction, I believe. And we'll also see it in stock markets, not immediately because we're getting a correction in stock markets, but we have seen it. We've seen both since the lows that we saw back in October and November of last year and March of this year. Now, what about precious metals? Technically, they still look weak in the short term, but they're overall in ranging patterns. They're moving in fairly predictable fashion right now, and that's been the case since they got overextended and then saw those key day reversals back on the 3rd of June. And my point has been that as gold came back into the lower $900 region, that it would be back in an accumulation zone. I don't think it'll go much below the $900 level, but there's always a temporary overshoot is a possibility. And silver, which peaked over 16, and I thought it would come back to, could easily come back to the 14 level, and it's come a bit below that. But I think these are now in accumulation zones. I think probably platinum is also in an accumulation zone, and I may nibble it a little bit to that before too long. I've nibbled at a little bit of silver here, being able to buy it back considerably cheaper than when I sold it on the 13th. So, I am backing my view that these metals are in an accumulation zone. I'm certainly not going to load up because I think we will get rangey action, and it would probably be prudent to take any decent profits that are on offer due to volatility. Silver is the best vehicle for that because it gets by far the bigger swings. I also think some of the grains are beginning to look a little bit overextended on the downside, and I may take a look at those as well. And I think that's pretty much it. Don't want to let this audio run on too long, so I'll just wrap up and say all the very best to all of you.